The greatest miracle na na-experience ko bilang isang individual is when God started to open my eyes and I started to hate the sin that I used to love. When I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, God transformed my heart of stone to a heart of flesh. And because of this great miracle, God called me to Himself. Bilang bagong Kristiyano, back then, God already had caused me or allowed to have this deeper desire sa aking puso to be a pastor. So, nung time na yon, wala naman ako ibang basihan o mga materials kung paano ba maging isang pastor. Ano ba ang pastor? So, the immediate response or immediate observation na ginawa ko is yung mga kakilala kong pastor. So, I observed them, listen to them, try to understand kung ano yung kanilang sinasabi o ang calling. And natutunan ko noong time na yon na yung pastor pala ay isang servant. Isang servant. At ang mga tinuturo sa akin ng mga ibang pastor noong time na yon, since servant ang pastor, dapat mahirap. Dapat mahirap siya. At saka since servant itong pastor, dapat sa pagdating sa church service, dapat siya lahat ang gagawa. Di ba nga kasi servant. Siya magpapakanta, doon pa lang patay na ako dahil hindi ako marunong kumanta. Okay? Siya mismo mag-aayos ng upuan, siya rin nag-preach kasi siya ay servant. So, there was a season sa life ko na akala ko, yun nga yung pagiging pastor. As I continue to be exposed to different churches, exposed to different pastors, may natutunan na naman ako patungkol sa isang pastor. Ang pastor pala ay isang son of a king. He is a son of a king. At sinabi ng mga pastor sa akin, ng mga kakilala kong time na yon, since he is a son of a king, dapat you should look like a son of a king. Dapat hindi ka naghihirap para nalang sasabihin ng ibang tao, ang anak ng Diyos naghihirap, hindi dapat. So yun po yung mga panibagong natutunan ko patungkol ho sa pastor, na dapat hindi ikaw ang kumikilos, dapat para kang CEO. No, dapat meron kang board member, dapat meron kang mga committee, dapat yun ang kalakaran kasi ikaw ay anak ng King. So nagkaroon ho ng panahon na nalilito na ako, ano ba talaga ang pastor? Ano ba talaga ang itsura ng pastor? Ano ba dapat ang ginagawa ng pastor? Until, by the mercies of the Lord Jesus Christ, I learned to read my Bible. And from there, we have discovered na hindi pala totoo yung mga natutunan ko about the pastor. And that's what we're going to do. That's what we're trying to do or going to do ngayong hapon na ito. We're going to look at kung ano ba ang pastor. Kung ano ba ang church leader through the lenses of Scripture. I'll give you a little background here. Tayo po ay nagpapatuloy sa ating sermon series on the book of Titus. This letter was written by Paul para kay Tito o Titus because of his growing concern na sa pag-spread ng mga false teachers sa loob ng mga time na yon sa churches ng Crete. Lumalaga na po yung immoralidad ng kultura ng Crete at dahan-dahan po itong nai-impluensyahan yung gospel culture sa loob ng church. Since these churches are young and immature, they need mature leaders to instruct and guide them to doctrinal truths at saka living. They need mature godly men who will help them. They need men who are qualified as elders or pastors who can teach God's word faithfully and exemplify Christ's likeness in every area ng kanilang buhay. Men who are qualified as elders or pastors can teach God's word faithfully and exemplify Christ's likeness in every area of their lives. From this passage na binasa kanina ni Ate Salve, I have divided yung passage into 2 points and 3 sub-points. Number 1, appoint godly leaders. Verse 1, magtalaga ng makadiyos na mamumuno. Number 2, attributes of godly leaders. Verses 6 to 9. Mga katangian ng makadiyos na mamumuno. Parang inulit ko lang, ano? Sa 3 sub-points so dito is committed to the family. Nakatuon sa pamilya. Letter B, committed to godly conduct, verses 7 to 8, nakatoon sa makadiyos na pag-uugali. And letter C, committed to God's word, verse 9, nakatoon sa salita ng Diyos. Umpisan ho natin sa unang point. Appoint godly leaders. After Paul's short visit sa Crete, maraming mga church plants po ang lumabas, and some called them as house churches. So for some unknown reason, Paul immediately left and entrusted itong mga churches na to sa care ni Titus for him to establish itong mga young churches na ito. After a while, itong mga bagong churches ay nagkaroon ng problema. Nag-uusbungan ng mga false prophets and false teachers, mga maling katuruan, and at the same time, na daw iimpluwensahan yung mismong kultura ng church na ito or churches na ito. Paul writes to Titus instructing him to correct and refute these wrong teaching and practices na kumakalat sa loob ng church. Kaya ho binanggit niya ito sa verse 5. Look at verse 5. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order. In order for these churches to be healthy, they need to hear the right teaching of God's word. And they need godly men who will exemplify godly living. And the best way for sound doctrine to be preached and modeled is by installing mga leaders. Installing godly leaders sa loob ng churches, which we see sa second part ng verse 5. Appoint elders. Yan ang instruction ni Paul. Appoint elders. Ano ba ibig sabihin ng elder sa Bible? Magandang balita, translation, literally translated it as matatandang pinuno o elderly men, which can be the case. The word elder o presbyteros is used interchangeably sa New Testament na pwede rin siyang ibig sabihin ay episkopos or overseers or bishops. At saka po ay men na ang ibig sabihin ay shepherd or pastors. Ang elder po ay hindi necessarily kailangan isang matandang lalaki para mapunta ho sa office ng elder. What they need is a mature, godly man who has a heart to serve the church by faithfully teaching God's word, care for the flock, and model in maturity. So when the Bible talks about elders, ito ay synonymous term. Pag sinabing elders, ibig sabihin din po niyan ay pastors. Ibig sabihin din po niyan overseers. Ibig sabihin din po yan bishop. Or yung term na tinatawag na under shepherds. Lahat po yun, iisa lang ang ibig sabihin. The Bible just uses them in interchangeable manner, depende sa context. Dito sa Crossroads, especially sa sermon series na ito, mapapansin niyo po that I will be using pastors and elders interchangeably to mean the same thing. Okay? So pag narinig niyo ako sinabing elder, ibig sabihin nun pastor, ibig sabihin nun elder. That's why I introduce myself in different ways every Friday afternoon. Sometimes I introduce myself as the pastor of Crossroads. At times, I introduce myself as the elder of Crossroads, kasi iisa lang po ang ibig sabihin niya. Now, tingnan natin yung verse 5. Ngayon na nauunawaan natin ang ibig sabihin ng elder o pastor, ano ang instruction na binigay ni Paul kay Titus? Ang nakalagay po dyan, appoint elders in every town as I directed you. Notice Paul's instruction. Ang sinabi po niya rito, appoint elders. Not appoint elder in every town. Ito po'y nagsasuggest that Paul was thinking about appointing groups of elders or pastors sa bawat churches, hindi lang isa kada isang church, kundi grupo ng mga pastors sa kada church. Ang tawag po dyan ay plurality of elders. Plurality of elders. Na kung saan sa several New Testament passages sa Bible, pinag-uusapan po yan na hindi lang isang elder ang nagli-lead po ng isang church, kung hindi maraming or group of elders. Sabi sa Acts chapter 15, verse 4, when they arrived at Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church, the apostles, and the elders, plural. Acts 14:23, when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Acts 20, verse 17. Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. So, he appoints elders sa bawat isang church. Now, bakit kailangan, hindi lang tag-iisa, bakit kailangan marami sa bawat church? Bakit kailangan may grupo? Two or three, wag lang isa. Well, there are advantages of having more than one pastor who's a church. Mas mainam po na mas maraming pastor sa isang church. And I'll give you three of many reasons or advantages kung bakit. Unang-una po sa lahat, pastors na plural o marami shares pastoral workload. Nagkakaroon po ng hatian po sa responsibility ng isang pastor. It divides work responsibility. So as not to burn out a pastor na kung saan siya po ay makakapag-lead efficiently. Okay? Second advantage, it balances pastoral weaknesses. It balances pastoral weaknesses. Other godly men will have gifts and passions and abilities na kung saan wala yung isang pastor. So, ang tendency po niyan, we will be complementing one another. Okay? So, yun yung beauty po pag marami pong pastors or elders. Third, it adds pastoral wisdom. Ang totoo po niyan, ang pastor ay hindi alam lahat. Okay? Kung marami pong mga elders or pastors sa isang church, nagkakaroon po ng tulong sa bawat isa, especially when it comes to counseling, when it comes to reviewing yung direction ng church. So currently, sa Crossroads, ilan ba ang pastor ng church na ito? Sa Crossroads, meron po tayong isang full-time elder o pastor. At yours truly po, ang inyong lingkod. It is our desire and our plan to have a plurality of elders sa church na yun. Yun ang ating prayer. Yun ang ating desire. We are praying, currently we are praying and raising up lay elders who will qualify to serve as one of the pastors dito sa Crossroads Church. If you're a member ng Crossroads Church and you see someone who would qualify as an elder or pastor, ang recommendation ko is be prayerful and approach me to recommend them as you compare them to scriptures, and both of us as a church will evaluate them together. Yes po, pwede ko kayo mag-recommend if you see godly men among our midst. But of course, it should go through a process. It should go through a lot of prayer and discernment. Pero, ano ba ang qualities ang hinahanap ninyo pastor sa isang pastor? Ano ba ang standard ng Crossroads pagdating sa pastor? Well, magandang hong tanong yan. Salamat sa pagtanong. Kasi ang kasagutan po dyan is makikita natin sa second point po natin. Attributes of a godly leader. Attributes of godly leaders. Makikita po natin yung sagot sa verse 6 to 9. O mga katangian ng makadiyos na mamumuno. Ano ba ang katangian ang dapat natin hanapin sa isang pastor? Lalo na sa Dubai at sa Pilipinas, alam natin may mga different types of pastors. Ano? Minsan nalilito tayo, tama ba ito yung ginagawa niya? Bakit masyadong cool ata yung isa? Masyadong hindi cool, modern, hindi. Ano ba ang kailangan hanapin natin pagdating sa pastor? I remember as a young pastor, there was this popular ideology na itinuturo sa akin ng ibang mga matatandang pastor regarding sa pagpili ng mga church leaders na ilalagay sa church. Ang kailangan ko daw, ang mga mama na kung saan mailagay sa leadership position sa church, ay mga mama na kung saan successful sa corporate world. Yun ang advice ko sa akin. Na kung saan successful po siya, gaya ng businessman, gaya ng architects, engineers, lawyers, doctors, accountants, yan ang mga magaganda ilagay sa posisyon sa church. Managers, CEOs, educators, thinking na kung naging matagumpay sila sa corporate world at naging church leader sila, malaki ang chance na baga maging successful ang pagpapatakbo ng church.
O kaya naman dapat piliin ang yung mga tao na kung saan matatagal na sa church, yung mga founding member ng church na ito, na kung saan sila ay influential at kilalang kilala ng ibang members. Yan ang ilagay sa posisyon. Pero ito nga ba ang hinahanap ni Paul sa isang church leader, pastor, or elder? I think hindi ho yun ang basihan. Okay? Ang propesyon o ang popularidad ay hindi ho basihan para maging elder or pastor ang isang individual. Now, if these men with these professions are meeting the qualifications of Scripture, then maybe. I'm not saying they can never. Kasi ang basihan po, hindi yung profession nila o ang popularidad nila, kung hindi ang salita ho ng Diyos. So, ano ba ang nakalagay sa salita ng Diyos? Ito po, verse 6 and verse 7. If anyone is above reproach, sabi sa verse 6. Inulit po ito sa verse 7. For an overseer, again another term for pastor or shepherd, for an overseer as God's steward or katiwala ng Diyos must be above reproach. So twice ho binanggit sa passage natin. Above reproach. Ano po ba ibig sabihin ng above reproach? Ang other word sa above reproach ay blameless o walang kapintasan. Pero hindi po ibig sabihin nito ay flawless ang pastor or faultless. Ang hinahanap po sa Bible ay hindi yung sinless perfection, ika nga. We're not looking for those types of leaders kasi they don't exist sa time na ito at sa panahon na ito at sa state na ito. Ang ibig sabihin po nito, ang kwalifikasyon or ang kwalipikadong pastor ay hindi mapapatawan o maaakusahan ni mapagdududahan ng kahit anong bagay na may kinalaman sa imoralidad o kasamaan. Hindi ho siya basta-basta maaakusahan sa kanyang pamumuhay. Now, this is crucial sa time ni Titus because Crete is a place where immorality is rampant and is socially and culturally accepted sa panahon nila. Those who have been saved by Christ in Crete need to see an actual model of Christ's likeness inside the church and outside the church gatherings. Thus, pastors should provide this. They should be above reproach. So ano po ba itsura ng kanilang pang-araw-araw na pamumuhay, yung isang pastor o elder? Makikita po natin uli yan sa verse 6 to 9. There are at least three areas that an elder should be above reproach o walang kapintasan. As a church, we should be looking for these qualities when considering a pastor. Okay? He needs to be above reproach. Saan area? Una-una sa kanyang pamilya, sa kanyang family life. He needs to be above reproach in his conduct. And thirdly, he needs to be above reproach in his ministry of the word. Friends, as I unpack these qualities, there are three things that I would like you to be asking. All right? Three things. One, first of all, I want you to start to evaluate potential elders in our congregation that seem to meet these qualifications and pray for them. Let me know about them. Let us lift their names up to the Lord and test them. That's one thing. Second, I want you to observe and evaluate your existing pastor. All right? I want you to evaluate and observe me. If I need growth in this area, to pray for me and even help me grow in it by being honest with me. Okay? Third, I want you to evaluate yourselves. Though the majority of you are probably not called to be pastors or elders, but the reason why these qualities should be seen in the life of pastors is because he should model it to you. So ano ibig sabihin po nito? It means that these qualities are normal Christian qualities that should be seen in a believer's life. Okay? So yun yung tatlong observation na kailangan nating gawin. First of all, let's talk about yung family life ng pastor. He is committed to the family. Nakatuon sa pamilya. Is the pastor leading his family life well? This is one of those crucial areas to look at when considering a pastor. Kamusta ba ang kanyang family life? Okay? Paul mentions this same elder qualification in a parallel passage sa 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 to 5. At ito pong sinabi niya. He must manage his own household. Household means family. Manage his own household well. For if someone does not know how to manage his household, how will he care for God's church? Kung papansinin natin, hindi po sinabi ni Paul that a pastor can manage his family well. Hindi niya sinabi yon. Ang sinabi niya, he must. Kailangan niya. If he is to be considered as an elder, a pastor, he must. Mandatory po yan. Ang salitang manage dito ay hindi business term. In fact, it is a relational term. Na ang ibig sabihin is to care. Isn't that interesting? To care. So to manage his family well means to care for his family well. Dapat niyang pangalagaan ang kanyang pamilya mabuti. Sa madaling salita, ang tahanan ay isang testing o training ground ng isang pastor o potensyal na pastor. Dito palang makikita na kung ano ba ang karapat dapat nga ba siyang maglingkod o magpatuloy maglingkod sa church o sa pamilya ng Diyos. Pinangangalagaan ba niya mabuti ang kanyang pamilya? Yung po ang tanong. So sa paanong paraan niya kailangan pangalagaan ang kanyang pamilya? May dalawang aspeto po ang tinitignan ang passage na ito. Unang-una, verse 6. By being the husband of one wife. Ibig sabihin niya, pastor, bawal ang chick boy ang pastor? Maybe. Yeah. Niyo alam yung term na husband of one wife literally means one woman man. Yun po ang ibig sabihin nun. This means isa lang, literally isa lang dapat ang asawa niya. Oh, pastor, madali yan. Qualified na ako. Hindi lang basta isang asawa, faithful siya sa asawa niyang isa. Kasi isa lang dapat ang asawa niya. Okay? The Cretans, yung mga tao sa lugar ng Crete, have polygamous relationships o may higit pa sa isang asawa. Kultura nila yun. Wala akong problema pag nalaman lima ang asawa. Pero if you're a Christian, if you're aspiring to become a pastor or elder, you should be faithful only to one. Okay? Bakit? Because an elder is called to reflect Christ's love for His bride, the church, by being faithful to her. He should love her the same as Christ loved the church. A sacrificial type of love, a love that is willing to die for His wife. Yun po yung klaseng pagmamahal na yan. Husbands, are you shepherding your wives' hearts well? Or maybe the question is, are you shepherding your wives' hearts? Pinag-iingatan niyo ba ang kanilang puso? Now, there are some who view this passage through the lenses of restrictiveness. That single men cannot be elder or pastor sa isang church. Yung iba yung daong pananaw, oh, see, gagaling sa verse na yan, husband of one wife, ibig sabihin, hindi pwede mga single maging pastor. Diba? Namalinaw yung pastor. Now, this doesn't mean that unmarried men or widowers can't be elders or pastors. If this was the case, then this would exclude si Paul. Si Paul po ay single. Itong mama na to ang nagsulat ng liham na ito. Na kung saan ang tawag niya sa sarili niya, elder sa 1 Peter chapter 5. Na kung saan si Timothy, isa sa mga elder, ay dapat hindi elder kasi single din. Na kung saan si Jesus Christ, single, chief, elder. Di ba? Elder, pastor, iisa. Mababaliwala din ang argument na binigay ni Paul sa 1 Corinthians chapter 7 about the blessings and benefits that singleness offers sa ministry. Ipinagdiriwang ni Pablo ang mga single servants as being free from marital concerns. You know, kagandahan po sa ating mga single servants. They are free from marital strife and concerns. At makaka-focus sila completely on how to please and serve the Lord with undivided devotion. Now, if there is a potential elder na single, paano ma-apply itong verse na ito, Pastor? This passage would be applicable if the single man pursues holiness, righteousness, and purity. He walks in open holiness with female members of the church. As Paul commanded kay Timothy, saying he should deal with young sisters in Christ in all purity. Kailangan pag-ingatan niya yung puso ng kanyang kapatiran sa Panginoon na babae. Hindi siya flirtatious or provocative ang kanyang language. Another area to look at sa isang aspiring pastor is how he cares for his children. Paano niya pinangangalagaan ang kanyang mga anak? Hindi lamang dapat faithful ang pastor o potential pastor sa kanyang wife, kung hindi faithful din dapat siya sa kanyang mga anak. Verse 6, second part. Tingnan natin. His children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. So there are several issues sa pag-uunawa ng passage na ito, kagaya ng kanina na first part ng verse 6. Una, ang issue ng pag-uunawa dito, ibig sabihin is, does this mean to be a pastor, kailangan may anak? Kasi di ba nakalagay dyan sa verse, di ba? Na kung saan yung children are believers, not given into to debauchery. So ibig sabihin, lahat ng pastor dapat may anak bago maging pastor. O bago magpatuloy magpastor. So not at all ang aking sagot dyan. One, okay, if siya ay hindi magkaroon ng anak, and he's trying not to have children for selfish reasons, then probably okay lang. Second, if he is multiplying godly men and women in discipleship, then that would be okay. If we are to be literal sa verse na ito, kung magiging literal lang tayo sa verse na ito, then kailangan lahat ng pastor, hindi lang isa anak. Kasi children, plural. If we're going to look at it through restrictive lenses. Okay? So, hindi ibig sabihin o nangangalugan ang pastor dapat may anak o isa lang o maraming anak o isa lang ang anak. Okay? O maraming anak. So, pwede po 'yon. Okay? So, ikalawa, may kalawang issue sa pag-uunawa sa verse na ito. Kailangan ba ang anak ng pastor ay dapat Christian? Christian lahat bago siya magsimula magpastor o magpatuloy magpastor? So yun po ang begging question ho dito. Again, my answer is not at all. Bagamat yung ating desire that your children would become true Christians or trusting Christ, pero hindi necessarily kailangan po bago siya maging pastor. His children are believers. So ano ibig sabihin nun? Can also be translated, yung word children are believers can also be translated as faithful. Yung ibig sabihin ho ng believers doon, faithful. I was encouraged when nabasa ko yung Christian Standard Bible at ganito po ang kanilang pagkakasalin, and I will read it to you sa Titus chapter 1 verse 6 sa CSB Bible. An elder must be blameless, the husband of one wife, with faithful children who are not accused of wildness or rebellion. I don't think this talks about an elder's child should be a Christian bago siya magsimula o bago siya magpatuloy sa pagiging pastor. Dahil ang parallel verse sa 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 4 only mentions keeping his children submissive. Yun lang po ang nabanggit sa 1 Timothy chapter 3. Which means a pastor's child should act in faithful way or well-behave, at hindi ho rebellious, hindi disrespectful sa magulang o sa kanyang mga magulang, kaibigan ng kanyang magulang. Hindi po siya yung nasusunod sa pamilya, yung anak. This applies only to children na nasa ilalim po ng bubong ng kanilang magulang. Yun po yung definition po ng children doon, yung mga kung ang bata, ang anak ay nasa sa authority pa ho ng magulang. Pero ano ba ang pinupunto ng passage na to sa isang mangangaral o sa isang lingkod ng Panginoon? Ang key po dito, ang isang elder must manage or care for his children by the matters of discipline, exercising spiritual leadership sa bata, and pointing his children to Christ. Yun po ang kailangan makita sa elder na ito. Sa libro ni Kent Hughes at Brian Chappell, ito po, nagbigay sila ng comment sa passage na to at ito ang kanilang sinabi. We are not necessarily looking at the beliefs and actions of one child, but the character of the family as a whole. Our assessment is to be based on observations of children's conduct and convictions made over time, not on isolated statements or actions. End quote. In short, the elders or potential elders' children should not be marked by rebellion or wildness or out of control yung bata. A godly elder at home will do what it takes to nurture and shepherd his child's heart and instructing them in ways of the Lord. Yun po dapat ang mark. Parents, how's your discipleship relationship with your children? Are they hearing God's word from your lips? Are they hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ through your teaching? Are you a reliable and consistent resource of God's word to nourish their souls? Because ito po ang calling ng mga magulang, to raise up godly children, to be a godly nation. Not only should an elder or a pastor be above reproach sa kanyang pamilya, but also sa kanyang mga inaasal o kinikilos, which we see sa second sub-point natin. Committed to godly conduct, verses 7 hanggang 8. Nakatuon sa makadiyos na pag-uugali. Now, Paul lists 11 qualities of an overseer or pastor. Lima po dito ay negative qualities at ang anim naman po dito ay positive. Tignan po natin muna yung limang negative na ugali na dapat hindi makita sa isang elder o pastor. Unang-una, hindi dapat siya arrogante. Hindi dapat pastor mayabang. Okay? O self-centered. O ang gusto niya ang nakatuon lagi or ang kagustuhan niya, yung atensyon ay lagi nasa kanya. Ang laman ng kwentuhan lagi ay patungkol sa kanyang accomplishments, sa kanyang experiences and challenges. Itong tao na ito ay mataas ang tingin sa kanyang sarili. Ang tawag sa kanya ay self-pleaser. Hindi mo dapat ito maging elder or pastor. Hindi siya dapat maging arrogante. Ikalawa, hindi mainitin ang ulo. Hindi mainitin ang ulo. I'm not saying hindi umiinit ang ulo, okay? Kung hindi madalas at mabilis uminit ang ulo. Yung tipong laging high blood, hot-tempered. Ito yung tipong mama na mabilis maprovoke yung galit at grabe din ibuhos ang kanyang galit sa kanyang salita at aksyon. Hindi ho dapat yon, kung siya yung tao na ito, hindi dapat siya magpatuloy sa kanyang pagpapastor. Third, hindi ho siya addict sa alak. In short, hindi siya lasenggo. Hindi ho dapat ang isang manlilingkod ng Panginoon, ay isang elder o pastor o overseer, ay isang addict sa alkohol. Itong mama na ito ay hindi makayanan ng walang alak sa katawan. Pag yan po yung tao na yun, hindi dapat maglingkod. Na kung saan naapektuhan na ang kanyang pag-iisip o ang kanyang judgment. Kasama na din dito po ang adik sa droga, adik sa sigarilyo, at kung anuman mga bisyo na kung saan umaalipin sa kanya. Ikaapat na negative quality, hindi siya bully. Bible ba yan? Hindi siya violent. Hindi siya violenting tao. Hindi po siya dapat palaaway, paladibate, o nanggugulpe. Okay? Magkaka-connecta ito lahat kapag mainitin ang ulo niya o meron siyang mga addictions. Magkaka-connecta po yun. There's a tendency for him to be verbally and physically abusive or violent. Fifth, sa negative qualities, hindi mukhang pera ang pastor. Hindi o dapat siya mukhang pera o sakim sa salapi. Ang isang overseer, elder o pastor ay hindi dapat ginagamit ang ministry to be a money-making business o para magpayaman. Okay? Isa sa mga paraan malalaman natin kung ang isang pastor ay isang sakim sa salapi ay kung laging pera ang pinag-uusapan sa sermon. At paano ito palaguin? Kahit walang kinalaman sa passage ng kanyang binasa, puro pera pa rin ang kanyang pinag-uusapan. Sa pera, he has developed a skill to bend the topic to feed his need for the congregation to provide him money and material things not even clearly related sa ministry. The Bible gives warnings about that. At hindi lang dapat lang sa pastor, kundi sa ating lahat. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. So hindi ho siya talamak sa salapi o material na bagay. Now there are six positive qualities ng isang pastor din or elder sa kailangan natin makita o hanapin. At makikita po ito sa verse 8. But hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. Isa-isayin po natin. He is hospitable. Ang ibig sabihin po ng hospitable is lover of strangers. A man who opened his home and his heart to other people. This is an important quality of an elder because in his home, he has an opportunity to display Christ sa mga taong kanyang inimbita. Second, he is a lover of good. A man who hates and fights sin. A man who is wise on what is good and has nothing to do with evil in his actions at saka sa kanyang decisions. Third, he is self-controlled. Self-controlled. He is patient. Hindi madali bumigay sa bugso ng kanyang damdamin. Hindi madali magtampo o magalitin, kagaya ng nabanggit natin kanina. Fourth, he is upright. He seeks to do what is right and pleasing sa harapan ng Diyos, kahit in a pressing situation. Fifth, he is holy. Ay, teka muna. Ibig sabihin ng pastor ay dapat hindi nagkakasala. Hindi po yun ang ibig sabihin dito. Hindi po nangangalugan na siya dapat ay hindi nagkakasala. Kung hindi, living a life that is separated to devotion and service sa Panginoon. And number six, he is disciplined. Ano po ibig sabihin nito? This means that he is not mastered or controlled by anything of this world, but is committed to the lordship of Jesus Christ in everything and in every situation. Mga kaibigan, do these six positive qualities mark you as a follower of Christ? Or do we look more like the five negative ones? Men, if you are aspiring to be an elder or a pastor, do these positive qualities mark you? If you say yes, would your family affirm that? Would your wife affirm that? Would your children affirm that? Friends, do these positive qualities mark your pastor? If not, then the most loving thing that you can do to me is to address these things to me and help me grow in godliness, so I can serve you well. because all pastors will fail to exemplify these qualities. All under-shepherds of the chief shepherd have tendencies to be like yung binasa ni Carlos kanina sa Jeremiah 23. Na kung saan shepherds who are not faithful, shepherds who do not care for the flock of Jesus Christ. Because there is only one faithful shepherd. There is only one holy shepherd. Yung shepherd ay to hindi nagkakasala. This shepherd is upright, righteous, faithful, and true. And he is the good shepherd who lay his life for the sheep. His name is Jesus Christ, who was sent by God the Father in order to be the ultimate lamb to be sacrificed in exchange for rebellious, sinful sheep like us. His death, burial, and resurrection has been proof that anyone who repents from their sins and trusts Christ for salvation will be redeemed, will be reconciled, will be regenerated, restored, forgiven from their sins. If you're hearing this gospel, friends, I urge you to repent from your sins and trust the good shepherd Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. In John chapter 21, after Jesus' resurrection, tinanong niya ng tatlong beses si Pedro kung mahal ba niya siya. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Tatlong beses tinanong ni Jesus Christ. Tatlong beses din sumagot si Pedro, oo, at sa pangatlo, na-offend. Lord, you know all things. Alam mo naman, mahal kita. Na-offend. At tatlong beses din sinabi ni Jesus Christ, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And there is no other food to feed Jesus' sheep except His Word, which is number three and last. An elder or a pastor is committed to God's Word. Yan ang dapat hanapin natin, pastor or elder. Committed sa salita ng Diyos. Verse 9, he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also rebuke those who contradict it. The ability to faithfully teach God's word with clarity, okay, and shows how it applies to one's life is a distinguishing mark of a faithful pastor. If ang pastor ay hindi marunong magturo ng salita ng Diyos, then he is not qualified magpatuloy. If you are aspiring to be a teacher of God's Word, a pastor, an elder, you should know God's Word. An elder should be faithful to preach and teach God's Word. There were false teachers na kumakalat po sa Crete, sa churches sa Crete. They are misleading the saints. That is why Paul immediately writes to Titus for an immediate action. Aksyonan mo na ito, Tito. Hindi pwedeng tumagal ito. At ang tanging paraan lamang upang paglabanan ang maling katuruan ay ang tapat na pangangaral ng salita ng Diyos. Because the faithful preaching of God's Word highlights true doctrine that motivates faithful living. It also refutes false doctrine and so therefore discourage unfaithful living. Wrong teaching of the truth would lead to wrong understanding of the truth. Wrong understanding of the truth would lead to wrong living. Friends, you will know when I stop loving this congregation. You will know. Malalaman ninyo kung hindi ko na mahal ang itong kongregasyon na ito. If I start preaching sermons that will feed your ego. If I start preaching sermons that will always make you warm from the inside, pero walang laman. If I start preaching a different gospel. Mga kaibigan, kung mangyari man yon, and God forbid, meron kayong responsibilidad bilang
congregation. And that is to call me out. Call me out. Confront me. Talk to me.
Pastor, hindi na tapat sa Bible yung tinuturo mo. Eh, teka, ikaw yung pastor. Eh, dapat hindi namin kayang gawin yan. Hindi ho. Nasa Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 yan, sinabi ni Paul yan.
Sabi sa Galatians 1:8, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be cursed or accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you receive, let him be accursed, anathema.
Si Paul na nagsasalita nito, pag ako nag-iba ang katuruan ko, kasumpa-sumpa ako.
1 Corinthians chapter 5, pinagalitan ni Paul
yung church in Corinth. Bakit? Kasi may pinayagan sila mag-preach na mali-mali magturo. Kasi bakit may yung anak at ang asawa ng kanyang tatay ay nagsasama.
And sabi ni Paul, and you're proud?
Hindi ba dapat tinanggal nyo yung kagad sa church? Sino pinagalitan? Hindi si pastor. Yung kongregasyon.
And for you, friends, to rebuke me and correct me to right doctrine, for you to do that, kapag mali na yung sinasabi ko, you must be filled with the Spirit of God, but you should be feasting on God's Word regularly for you to develop that hearing.
Mga kaibigan, what have you been feasting in your minds and hearts lately?
What blogs or videos have you been devouring this past days?
Do they edify you? Do they stir your affections towards Jesus? If not, then what is it stirring?
If you are an aspiring pastor, then you are expected to feed God's sheep with His Word and protect God's flock from wolves. And for you to have that stamina, you need to also feast on the very food that you're feeding the flock. God's Word.
Hindi dapat pabayaan ang sarili natin. Hindi dapat tayo nagpapabaya mapagutuman ng salita ng Diyos.
Pastor, nasa church ako, gutom na gutom ako ngayon sa salita.
Praise God, pero anong kinakain mo itong nakaraan na araw?
Hindi ba dapat kumakain din tayo ng salita ng Diyos?
Eh, matagal na ako hindi nakakatin sa community group o hindi na nga ako umaatin. Bakit?
Hindi ba alam mo, you have somehow Friday and then within midweek, you need to recharge through the fellowship of God's people and the feasting of God's Word? If you're not part of any community group dito, I encourage you to be part. Look for Kuya Dexter and he will usher you to a group.
Hindi dapat tayo mapabayaan, mapagutuman.
Friends, if we are to be a healthy church, then we must feast on God's Word. We must listen to the teaching, to the sound teaching and doctrine of God's Word. We must be discerning in choosing our elders and pastors who will point us to Christ. We should be caring for the elder of the church by calling him out, by encouraging, for helping him grow in these qualities. We should always have the book of God's Word as a mirror to see kung ano na ba tayo rito, kung ano na itsura natin. We need godly, mature men who will pastor us, an elder who can teach God's Word faithfully and exemplify Christ-likeness in every area in their lives. Let's pray. Father, we pray and we desire that you would raise up men and women of the Word. Help us to be watchful. Help us to be shepherding one another. I pray for your servant that he would press on in faithfulness. We pray, Father, that you would raise up men who will take the step of serving you. I pray, Father, that you would give us wisdom as a church. If that time comes, that we would discern and be part in choosing these elders. For your name's sake in this church. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.